John McCain's campaign announced yesterday that his vice presidential running mate's teenage daughter was pregnant. When asked about the story, Barack Obama told reporters to back off.
I think people's families are off limits. And people's children are especially off limits. This shouldn't be part of our politics.
So should this story be off limits? And whether it should be or not, it is out there and people are talking about it. Will the news hurt support for John McCain or not? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, September the 2nd. We will talk about all of the storms swirling around the Republican National Convention and the Republican ticket this hour, and we'll welcome your input, too, and your reactions to the political news of the day. We are mirroring our coverage of the Democratic National Convention last week, this week. And at this time last week, we heard from a Republican who was raining on the Democrats' parade. Now we'll turn things around and welcome in a Democrat to rain on the Republicans' parade. Chris Miklos is partner and senior strategist at Visuality, a Madison-based media firm. He worked as a Democratic communications manager in the state legislature, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for having me. When you said I was going to rain on the Republican parade, I thought you were going to introduce me as Gustav Miklos.
Well, that Gustav did rain on the parade yesterday, or did it?
Well, I think that they obviously altered their, convention, really lost the entire first day. Now, some may say that's a good thing. They had scheduled President Bush and Vice President Cheney for Labor Day during the hours when people are traveling. So obviously they didn't want them even on stage, and this was a good excuse to get them off stage. So in the end, it may have been a good thing for them. But losing one of 4 days in their four-day infomercial, as your last guest would have said, I think is ultimately not going to be a good thing for them.
Well, but a little bit of goodwill, good PR, saying country first, we're not going to politic, we're going to try to help the victims of this hurricane?
Sure. Going on national TV and saying you're not going to politic is politicking at its most cynical. But I think it was probably the right thing to do to step back. Politically, it would have looked terrible for them to be out there with the red, white, and blue streamers serving up the red meat and attacking Obama. Whether or not it was entirely because of Gustav, I don't know, or whether it's because their vice presidential pick on Friday really changed the complexion of what they could talk about and what they did want to go into. Whatever it was, they made the calculation that on Monday they needed to step back, and so they did.
Well, I want to talk about a lot of the news of surrounding Sarah Palin this morning, but President Bush is likely to address the Republican National Convention today, but he won't be on stage via satellite this time. Rudy Giuliani is the keynote speaker. What do you expect?
Well, I think it's when the President of the United States is not the featured speaker at a convention, that tells you all you need to know about the President of the United States. I think that after the phenomenal job that the Democrats did last week in Denver in tying John McCain to President Bush, they're going to do whatever they can to make that distance. And the fact that Bush and Cheney aren't even in the Twin Cities this week demonstrates pretty clearly that they're going to be a liability in this campaign and that John McCain will do anything he can to obscure his ties with them. The line that Hillary used last week about the twins, McCain and Bush in the Twin Cities, obviously got through to someone on the Republican side.
Mm-hmm. Do you expect that John McCain is going to now shift the focus of his campaign as being this, that he is the reformer, and that he put Palin on the ticket because she shakes things up, and Barack Obama, therefore, is not the only candidate for change?
Well, she certainly shook things up. I mean, it's hard to deny that. If there was anything accomplished out of the Palin pick immediately, was it certainly stepped on the story on Friday when it was announced. Now, whether or not they got, good coverage stepping on the story is another question. In terms of are they going to try to make this a reformer story? I think clearly they're going to try to do that. even though they had closed the gap somewhat over the last month, I think the determination was made that this not ready to lead line and some of the personal attacks on Obama may have gotten the race close, but probably weren't going to be enough to put him over the top. And so they, you know, as we heard over and over again, through a Hail Mary pass on Friday, going to try to embrace this reformer thing. But when you look at Sarah Palin, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this, it's hard to make the case credibly that she's a reformer, that she's a maverick. When, you know, she basically echoes the same far right-wing philosophy that has marked the Bush-Cheney years. And even the things that they've been pointing to over the first 48 hours of her candidacy, every time a news story breaks, it contradicts what she's been saying from the podium and what McCain's been saying about her. And so it's one thing to claim she's an authentic reformer, but a look at the record seems to show that she's not.
What impact do you think the story about her daughter's pregnancy is going to have on this election?
Well, that's a tough question, and I don't think that it will have a major impact, to be honest with you. I think we heard Barack Obama earlier say that it's off limits, and he said many times that he thought families should be off limits, and I think that that's right as well. I don't think you want to you give up some privacy when you run for national office, but, you know, that doesn't mean the family has to be put through the ringer. Now, that said, the difficulty that the Republicans will have in making that case is, one, they have never put families off limits when going after Republicans, and two, they have put Sarah Palin's family front and center as her qualifications for office. You know, they've indicated that she's, because she's a hockey mom and a mother of five, that makes her qualified for being president. And so it's hard for them then to turn around and say, you know, you can't look at the family when they've made that her whole reason for being on the ticket. More importantly, though, I think is less the pregnancy and the daughter, which you wish luck to and you hope it all works out for the best. But it probably says more about Sarah Palin herself and her embrace of right wing ideas like abstinence only education and her a lack of interest in sex education in schools. When you see that, well, okay, this is the natural result.
We're going to check weather, and then we'll take calls for Chris Miklos. He is a former Democratic communications manager for the state legislature, talking with us about the Republican National Convention underway today in St. Paul. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, September the 2nd. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up later today, At Issue and Ben Marin's back to talk politics after 4 o'clock. He'll review the Democratic Convention and discuss this week's Republican Convention with Minnesota Public Radio talk show host Carrie Miller. That's coming up after 4 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking with Chris Miklos this hour. He is partner and senior strategist at Visuality, a Madison-based media firm. He was blogging at the Democratic National Convention last week in Denver, and he is with us this hour to talk politics. We're talking about the Democrats and the Republicans and welcoming your thoughts and questions for him. Talking some about the political news of the day, including the news that broke yesterday that Sarah Palin's teenage daughter, 17-year-old daughter, is 5 months pregnant. Wisconsin delegates say they have support and sympathy for McCain's running mate, Sarah Palin. The Alaska governor disclosed yesterday that her unmarried 17-year-old daughter is 5 months pregnant. Milwaukee County Executive Scott Walker said it makes Palin, quote, look real. Juneau County District Attorney Scott Southworth said he hoped people would let Palin campaign publicly and parent privately. Democratic White House nominee Barack Obama also said that Palin and her daughter off limits. Just before he got to Milwaukee yesterday, Obama said it had no relevance to Palin's performance as a governor or what she would do as vice president. So what do you say to that, Chris Miklos? The teenage daughter's pregnancy is not relevant to Sarah Palin's resume when it comes to being vice president.
Well, again, I agree with that. I think that it's it is as irrelevant as any other family should be. Again, with the caveat that if they're going to continue to put her family front and center as an example of her experience and the fact that she was a working mom and a hockey mom, as they like to say, then they're inviting scrutiny of the family. If they continue to say, as they have this weekend, that she has serious foreign policy credentials because her son is going to Iraq, then it makes the family part of the conversation. Again, though, I think that the daughter's privacy should be respected, and if anything, it should shine light on the mother's, the nominee's, right-wing stances on abstinence-only education and on her lack of interest in teaching sex education and prevention in schools, because all evidence points to that doesn't work, and now we have an anecdotal evidence of that as well.
Well, the other story that broke yesterday about the new vice presidential running mate of John McCain's is that Sarah Palin apparently has hired a lawyer or put a lawyer on her case as she is being investigated in this case to determine whether she had anything to do with the trying to get her ex-brother-in-law fired as a state trooper. Do you think that that's a significant a story for Democrats?
Sure. Mm-hmm. And yesterday was kind of scandal day in the Palin world. First day of the Republican convention, and it seemed like every hour, every 2 hours, as I was checking online, some new story or some new element of her past was coming out. The trooper gate, as they're calling it, whether or not that's relevant or not, I couldn't say at this point. It seems to be that from the evidence that's now starting to come out, that she hasn't been completely straightforward about her role, and some of the things she said about it have not been consistent with the facts as far as her involvement, and the fact that they're now bringing in a whole team. I think I saw 25 communications people and lawyers have flooded into Alaska from the GOP in part to help battle this back. You know, that indicates that they think it's a potential problem, and they know more about it than I do.
Yeah, heard a lot of people talking on cable news yesterday, and including some Republicans, wondering if Palin got enough vetting. What do you think?
Well, that was a point of extreme defensiveness by the McCain people yesterday as they were coming out in force, swearing up and down that she'd been properly vetted. Joy, you and I were at an event earlier in the year for the We the People, mm-hmm. And now we met here in the studio this morning. We now officially know each other as well as John McCain and Sarah Palin did, met twice in the entire lead-up. And it appears that they have not done a good job of vetting. In addition to all these stories that have come out, it doesn't appear that John McCain knew a lot of things about her. He appears not to have known that a few months ago she told an interviewer that she didn't know what the vice president does. He didn't appear to know that she did not share his position on drilling in the Arctic wilderness, and on and on. And so it appears that the vetting was not done very well. But in a national campaign, the vetting, is going to happen. And if they don't do it, the press is going to do it. In the last 48 hours, we've seen all the low-hanging fruit come off the tree. And that's been in 48 hours. Once the press gets into Alaska and they start talking to people, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Lots of callers for you. We start with Tim in La Crosse. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, just real quick about Ms. Palin. I think it's a wonderful choice. I like her a lot. I think that everybody knows that the media is in the tank for Barack Obama, and they're going after her now. And I think the McCain camp was well aware that was going to happen. And just one thing that was like really disturbing last week when watching the DNC convention, you would see people like Chris Matthews and some of the other guys, especially on MSNBC, that we're actually clapping and cheering for Barack Obama. And for a reporter to, this is supposed to be subjective, to showing that they're clapping just in reference, take a sports reporter, and if they were they're actually cheering for a particular team, that's the kiss of death for a supporter standpoint, and they'd be terminated on the spot. But somehow there's a blind eye in the media when it comes to this with the liberals and Barack Obama. And my last comment was just that I think when you attack, when they're going to attack her experience level, and she actually has, I believe she has more experience than Barack Obama, who in the past 2 years has been a rookie senator who's been on the campaign trail and has not really had any experience. She's been in charge of the whole state of Alaska, the National Guard, and I think she does have a really strong record, especially on ethics reform.
Thank you very much, Tim. I'm not sure we're going to be able to comment on everything you said before news time, but Chris Miklos, what about, let's start with the experience question. Do you think Sarah Palin has enough experience?
Well, it's laughable to say that she has more experience than Barack Obama. Just using the phrase "the whole state of Alaska" kind of demonstrates what shaky ground they're on that. Mayor of a town of 7,000, can't even say city when you say 7,000. She's governor of Alaska. She got about 100,000 votes, a little bit more than 100,000 votes when she ran for governor of Alaska. That's actually about two-thirds of the size of a Wisconsin Senate district. Year and a half as governor of a state that's about as different from the rest of the country as any state in the union, and her foreign policy credentials are laughable. To say that she was the commander of the Alaska National Guard, you don't command troops in combat in the Alaska National Guard. You've also seen over the weekend the Republicans try to float the idea, well, she's got foreign policy credentials because her state is pretty close to Russia. That's ludicrous, and yet this is what they're out there trying to float.
But you know, she does have the executive experience, as limited as it might be. That's more than the Democratic ticket.
Well, Barack Obama, which I don't think is a particularly compelling case, but you know, he's been out saying that he has overseen as an executive one of the best political campaigns that has we've seen in recent years, with a budget that's actually more than the state of Alaska on a month-to-month basis. That aside, which I think is legitimate, but you know, not a particularly compelling case to voters. You look at Barack Obama's experience. He's been a U.S. senator for the past 4 years. Prior to that, served several years in a major state's legislature. On foreign policy, he's a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, has taken the lead on one of the most important safety issues of our time, which is loose nukes and getting a handle on that. His trips overseas have been well documented and wildly successful. He's done more on that one trip a few months ago to raise the United States standing in the world than George Bush and Dick Cheney have done in 8 years as president and vice president. And on the most important issues of our day, on the most important foreign policy issue of our day, Iraq, he got it right when the Republicans and the Republican ticket got it wrong.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue comparing the Obama-Biden ticket to the McCain-Palin ticket, and we'll talk some about media coverage as well. This is the Ideas Network.
My understanding is that Governor Palin's town of Wasilla has, I think, 50 employees. We've got 2,500 in this campaign. I think their budget is maybe $12 million a year. We have a budget of about three times that just for the month. So I think that our ability to manage large systems and to execute, I think, has been made clear over the last couple of years.
That's Barack Obama comparing his experience, especially executive experience, to that of John McCain's new vice presidential running mate, Sarah Palin. Barack Obama yesterday interviewed on CNN about that. We're talking about some of the political news of the day with Chris Miklos, partner and senior strategist at Visuality, a Madison-based media firm. He worked as a Democratic communications manager in the state legislature as well. He was blogging for WisPolitics.com during the Democratic convention in Denver last week, and we invited him to join us this week to comment on some of the news coming out of the McCain campaign and the Republican National Convention. As it is, as you heard, the convention scaled back considerably yesterday. Expected to get back to somewhat normal business today. Rudy Giuliani giving the keynote address. President Bush might address the delegates via satellite. We're talking about all of that and welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And Chris, just before news time, we heard from Tim in La Crosse, a supporter of Sarah Palin's, a supporter of John McCain's, who also said, "We all know the media are in the tank for Barack Obama," and commented about how Chris Matthews and other cable news people were fawning over Barack Obama last week. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that that's a standard Republican line, that the media is always in the tank for the liberals. It sure didn't seem early last week in Denver that the media was in the tank for the Democrats, when all they could cover was the supposed rift between the Hillary people and the Obama people. It really took a phenomenal convention for the Democrats to seize back the message and kind of bring it all back in line. Chris Matthews, isn't a reporter, as we discussed. He's a commentator. I didn't notice Tim complaining about the coverage on Fox News or the right wing radio. I just think it's a well worn old argument that has been debunked.
Yeah, well, are the liberal media types, the bloggers in particular, out to get Sarah Palin? Apparently, it was the bloggers who forced the McCain campaign to release this news about her daughter's pregnancy.
Well, I think there were some rumors out there in the blogosphere that ultimately that were not about this, but that prompted the McCain camp to release it. I don't know what to say. Bloggers are out to get Sarah Palin. I mean, this is one of the worst vice presidential picks in history. This makes Dan Quayle look like Thomas Jefferson based on her experience and readiness to lead. To say they're out to get her, I think what's been happening is the bloggers, as has the press, has simply been going back through archives of the Alaskan newspapers. They've been looking at comments from her fellow Republican office holders in Alaska. None of this stuff that's out there is scurrilous or made up. Right now, it's all, like I said before, the low-hanging fruit that just happens to be out there. So I don't think anyone's out to get her, but I think that a vice presidential nominee needs to understand that there's going to be some scrutiny of her record, and we're not just going to take her comments at face value.
Louise in Hillsboro is with us now. Hi, Louise. You're on the air.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. My concerns about Sarah Palin have nothing to do with her family or, even with the Trooper Gate. My concern is that she's for drilling in the Alaska Wildlife Preserve. She's even out there saying that the polar bear is not endangered. She clearly doesn't believe in global warming. It seems to me like it would just be a huge setback to have somebody like that in such a major office in this country. And also to remember that Joe Biden's son is also going to Iraq, and he certainly has a few more credentials than Sarah Palin. Thank you.
All right. So Louise doesn't need to hear about these various scandals in her life. It's her positions on issues that matter.
I think that, you know, Louise makes an excellent point, and I think that's something that has gotten lost in over the past couple of days. Not only is she not ready to be commander-in-chief, not only has she displayed tremendous inauthenticity by stating positions that are in complete opposition to her record, but when you do look at where she is on the issues, she is about as right-wing as they come, and that's one of the reasons she's on the ticket. She doesn't believe that global warming is man-made. She doesn't believe in a woman's right to choose, not even in cases of rape, incest, or when the mother's life is threatened, which is about as off the map a position as you can have. She has advocated to have creationism taught in schools. She wants to ban all stem cell research. Bottom line, no stem cell research. As Louise mentioned, she wants to more drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife, sued the Department of the Interior to get polar bears taken off the endangered species list. This is about as right-wing a candidate as there is out there, and that is just one of the many reasons why she's a terrible pick.
Well, the right wing of the Republican Party or the evangelicals are thrilled that she's on the ticket, though, and they're saying that they're energized now and they're going to go out there and really, really try to get John McCain elected.
Well, sure, and that's because all the issues that I just ticked off, with maybe the exception of hunting polar bears, is a direct reflection of the Republican platform. For all the talk about her being a maverick and John McCain being a maverick for putting her on the ticket, she's on the ticket because John McCain couldn't stand up to the right wing of his party. He wanted to appoint Joe Lieberman to this position, or to nominate Joe Lieberman. He wanted someone like Tom Ridge. But when the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys and the entire right wing establishment said, absolutely no way, we need someone who's going to reflect the right wing of the party, we got Sarah Palin.
Maxine in Green Bay joins us now. Hi, Maxine. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is, how long before she withdraws? I think it's clear that this is another Harriet Myers. I thought that within the first half an hour of hearing this. She's, I would say, bordering on criminally unqualified for this office. I think McCain's recklessness in potentially putting our nation at risk by appointing somebody like this to the vice presidency is a really serious problem. But now she's got these family issues and all this stuff is coming out. I think it's clear that she's probably going to withdraw. And I'm wondering if your guest agrees with that.
Do you agree with that, Chris?
Well, I agree that she looks a whole lot more like Harriet Myers than she does like Joe Biden. In fact, when the announcement was made on Friday, it was, I believe, the third anniversary of Katrina, which reminds us all about how bad things can get when people who aren't qualified are holding positions of great power. You know, if President Bush thought Brownie did a great job in Katrina, then he would be thrilled with this vice presidential pick. Now, I honestly don't think that she'll withdraw, but I think that Maxine makes an excellent point that this is a pick that is so cynical and so dangerous that it literally puts the country in jeopardy when we have a 72-year-old candidate with a history of health problems, that this is someone who's next in line, a heartbeat away from the presidency. And frankly, all this talk over the past few days and all the discussion we've been having says far less about Sarah Palin than it does about John McCain and his willingness to put the country at risk with a Hail Mary pass to get elected. For all his talk over the past several months about Barack Obama and putting politics before the welfare of the country, this is a candidate who just obliterated months of campaigning and his entire reason for being in this race and his entire message by picking a candidate who is not ready to step in and be commander-in-chief and would actually endanger the country if she took over.
Yeah, John McCain, didn't he say that his number one criterion, his only criterion for picking a vice presidential running mate was that the person would be ready to be president on day one?
Exactly right. He that has been his line. He's repeated it often. And as of on Friday, when he was making his announcement of Sarah Palin, you never heard him even mention readiness to lead, because clearly even he realizes that that she just would not live up to the billing.
Yeah. So you think he made this decision just to please the evangelicals?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt about that. If a lot of people said he was going after Hillary Clinton voters by appointing a woman, well, I don't think even John McCain is stupid enough to think that women are going to vote for a candidate just because she has two X chromosomes. I heard a Democratic commentator, you know, say Hillary Clinton got 18 million votes. John McCain will be lucky to get 18 of those votes based on this pick.
We are going to check weather and then more calls for Chris Miklos, partner, senior strategist at Visuality, a Madison-based media firm. He worked as a Democratic communications manager in the state legislature, talking with us about politics as the Republican National Convention is about to kick off today after being stalled yesterday. 1-800-642-1234 or talk at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, about 11 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, September the 2nd. Stay with us for more coverage of politics and the Wisconsin Republican Convention, or I should say the Wisconsin Republican Party Chair will join us after 8 o'clock to talk about the Republican National Convention going on in St. Paul. That's coming up in our next hour. Our next caller is Wayne in Holman. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
I guess to the guest, and I certainly respect everybody's opinion, I support Sarah Palin. I think she was a very gutsy choice. I'm somewhat concerned that she's being brutalized quite as hard as she is so early, but I expect it from Democrats.
How is she being brutalized, Wayne?
Well, I mean, this fella, for example, says she represents all the wrong things in America, and frankly, I don't agree. I think she represents most of the good things in America. I'm a strong Second Amendment supporter. I don't believe in abortion, strong family orientation, and, you know, liberals always say, let's clean all of those folks out at Washington and put new blood in. Well, we got some new blood, so let's see what happens. And as far as experience, I would never trash Barack Obama. I think he's a fine man, and I'm so happy that he made it as far as he has. But what's he got, 2 years in the Senate? And that qualifies him to be president of the United States? Come on, give me a break. So I just say, let's try to be fair to both candidates and have a decent conversation, and I thank you.
No, and I'm glad you called, Wayne, but no qualms at all about the experience of Sarah Palin. You think she is ready to be president day one should something, God forbid, happen to John McCain.
Yeah, I'm sure she's going to be brought up to speed on a lot of foreign policy issues. You know, I don't think Bill Clinton had a whole lot of international experience when he was elected. I think he was the governor of a state down south. I think it was Arkansas. So, you know, I gave him a break, and I thought he did a pretty darn good job, and this comes from a Christian conservative. I appreciated what Bill Clinton did, and he was a novice. Look at Harry Truman. My gosh, you talk about a guy with no experience. There's another one, a Democrat, I believe, and I think he did a darn good job.
All right. Experience ain't all it's cracked up to be, Chris Miklos, according to Wayne.
Well, I appreciate Wayne's comments, and I think, though, that you have to separate the question of when we're talking about if someone's qualified for office or where her issue stances are completely separate from mainstream America from saying it's a personal attack. Now, none of this is personal. She seems like a fine person. She clearly has injected a lot of excitement into the race. You know, in terms of her own personal integrity, you know, you assume it's strong based on what we know, which is not a lot. The one qualm I would have on that is even on Friday when they came out and made their announcement, there was a lot of things said that were very opposed to the record on her reformist credentials and or her the idea that she's a maverick. But none of this is or should be personal. It's a matter of choosing the right person who reflects the values of the country. And the more people know Sarah Palin, they're going to see that she doesn't represent the mainstream. And that's just as dangerous as her lack of experience.
Thank you to Wayne for the call. John in Green Bay is next. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. The people I believe that know her best are the Alaskans, and I come up with a couple quotes, one from a Ms. Green, which is the Republican State Senate President, and the other is from Mr. John Harris, which is the Speaker of the House, also a Republican. Miss Green actually comes from her hometown, saying they're in the same hometown. She's not, this is a quote, she's not prepared to be governor. How can she be prepared to be vice president or president? That's Green.
Yeah, didn't Sarah Palin, as governor even before that, though, John, shake up the Republican Party and go after, you know, Republican people? So that's why the Republicans don't like her.
Well, there is. She actually did that because there's just been a tremendous amount of corruption issues up in Alaska, and I think they had their lowest turnout ever in that election. So, yes, some of the people she might have been running against, many of them are actually in prison right now. So whether, this is you know, your comment, my comment, we have our biases, but this is actually the people
I'm
in her party.
I'm asking a question. But so the Republicans in Alaska are saying she's not prepared to be governor, let alone Vice President Chris Miklos.
Clearly, and I'm glad John brought up those quotes because they are relevant, because you have to look to the people who know her best. The leaders of the Republican Party in Alaska have both come out and questioned whether or not she's fit for this nomination. The state's main newspapers ran editorials over the weekend saying that this is a odd pick and that she's probably not qualified. And this whole idea of her standing up to the Republican Party, you know, we've heard a lot about that. We've heard a lot about how she stood up to Ted Stevens, who's the indicted corrupt U.S. senator from Alaska. But that's what I was talking about before, when the record doesn't really match the rhetoric. As recently as July, she was appearing at press conferences with Ted Stevens, declaring her support for him. She was on the board of directors of one of Ted Stevens' 527 mm-hmm. issue groups, raising money, you know, big corporate donations for political purposes. And he was appearing in her campaign ads a year and a half ago. So this whole idea that she stood up to the establishment, and if she can, you know, face up to Ted Stevens, she can face up to Vladimir Putin. Well, maybe she's going to put Vladimir Putin in her presidential ads.
And it much was is being said about whether or not she always opposed the bridge to nowhere. She said so in her first appearance with John McCain, but apparently the record says differently.
On Friday, both she and John McCain stood up and said she's a reformer. She opposed this huge boondoggle, the bridge to nowhere. Well, it turns out that that wasn't true either. In 2006, she ran on support for the bridge to nowhere. She lobbied for, I believe this year, the states received $380 million in pork, including the bridge to nowhere, which is $100 million more than any other state in the union got. Only when it became a major issue and a major problem did she say that she opposed the bridge to nowhere, but she still took the money and just spent it on something else. And so this great reformer who doesn't believe in earmarks, again, it's a myth created by the right wing, and it just doesn't match the record.
Thank you, John. Lenny in Madison, you're with us now. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Lenny, go ahead.
I had one couple observations, and one is it's when McCain picked Governor Palin, he took the experience issue right off the table, and now the Republicans can't realistically attack anybody for experience. The second thing is, as you might recall, what happened with Harriet Meyer's nomination to the Supreme Court. It wasn't Democrats that attacked her nomination, it was Republicans. But this nomination goes to show you that Sarah Palin, because she's an ideologue, she's acceptable to him. So it's all about ideology, and it's all about whose ideology. Thank you.
Thank you, Lenny. Just a couple of minutes to go, Chris.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It does take, I don't know if it takes experience off the table, because over the last couple of days, it's you've almost been sympathetic watching the McCain campaign try to defend that they're going to keep experience on the table. But I think, as I had alluded to earlier, this whole Republican convention was supposed to be built around the theme of Barack Obama is not ready to lead. And you see that now in complete shambles. And I don't think that we're going to be hearing that, because it just demonstrates hypocrisy at best of the McCain campaign.
Last Tuesday, at near the beginning of the Democratic National Convention, our Republican guest was on with us to say, hey, while you Dems are partying out there in Denver, John McCain is poised to win Wisconsin. Is Barack Obama or John McCain poised to win Wisconsin this fall?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that this is going to be a Democratic year, and in Wisconsin, the Dems are in great shape. Barack Obama has hovering around a double-digit lead here in Wisconsin. There's no indication that that's changed. Nationally, according to a CBS News poll taken over the weekend, Obama has jumped out to an 8-point lead. I think he's at 48-40. Frank Luntz, who's the Republican pollster extraordinaire, did a series of focus groups over the weekend that showed that half of undecided voters are less likely to vote for McCain because of the Palin pick, and only one said he was more likely to vote for McCain. I think Wisconsin is going to go the way of the country, and that's going to be for Barack Obama.
Well, Chris Miklos, thank you very much for coming in and talking with us today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Chris Miklos, partner, senior strategist at Visuality, a Madison-based media firm. He worked as a Democratic communications manager in the state legislature. We thank him for being with us. We thank Rob Ferret for producing this hour. We thank Bill Martins and Cynthia Schuster for on-air production and direction. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I gotta fly once, I gotta try once, only can die once, right, sir? Ooh, love is juicy, juicy and juicy. I gotta have my bite, sir. So get ready for me, love, because I'm a comer. I simply gotta march, my heart's a drummer. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade.